877 or text us at 68683. Start it out with Gary or Eric, and that way it will be delivered to one of us. I'm Gary.
He's Eric.
And this morning on Ask the Law, 800-288-9227, this hour, we will hand out at least one pair of Justin Original Work Boots to a CDL holder. And so make sure that you get through. Or, again, as Gary mentioned, you can text us at 68683 if you don't have time to wait around on hold. We certainly appreciate that. Make sure you're somewhere safe before you text or call at 800-288-9227. And it is Ask the Law. Senior Trooper Monty Dial, retired of the Texas Highway Patrol, is here, courtesy of Old Blue USA. And we do this every single month. Of course, the answers are up to date as of April 6, 2009. And can change without notice. If you have a question about regulations, you can get your CMV questions answered at askthelaw.org anytime. You just click on the big red button that says email Ask the Law. Real simple, askthelaw.org, click on that big red button.
And I got one here. It says, who can you go to complain on a trooper's actions? Mm. Well, here you would go to Eric to complain about mine. I want to make that absolutely clear. He'd be the one to go to. I don't want to hear any of the complaints.
All right.
I have to sit on this side with him. But so
but that question has come up, certainly since the officer in Plano, for those in the Dallas area, and other situations. They are few and far between, but it does happen every once in a while that an officer can make a mistake. If you feel like an officer has made a mistake or has acted improperly, is there something you can do?
Yes, and one of the things that Gary and Eric have heard me say, make this statement on the radio show before, and then I've also told people when I go do safety talks, you know, on the side of the road is not the place to challenge the authority of the guy wearing the gun.
Yeah, right.
The guy wearing the gun makes the rules, and regardless of whether you like him or not, you know, he's going to be he's the authority figure.
So take it to the judge or the supervisor, right?
Correct. If you feel that the trooper made a legitimate mistake,
mm-hmm.
not because you felt that he mistreated you, you know, now you get into a he said, she said type situation.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them nowadays have the video cameras, and they're going to, first thing the supervisor is going to do is do that. But if you felt that a citation was issued in error, by all means, contact the trooper supervisor
mm-hmm.
and discuss the problem with them. And if the trooper did make a mistake, then they will correct it without you having to go to court.
All right. So that's the best way to do it. And just have all your ducks in a row. Try not to be too emotional if you're, you know, issuing any kind of complaint anytime. That's would be my advice.
Right. Be factual. Don't sit there and elaborate. You know, hey, here's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And let it go from there.
All right. 800-288-9227, or you can text us at 68683. Let's get back to your questions.
Let's go to John in Springfield, Missouri. John, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network, and you're on Ask the Law. Welcome. Hi.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you.
You're on the radio.
Great. I want to find out how I go about. I was giving a citation for driving while intoxicated, for taking my prescription medication while I was on break. And I don't understand. I want to know if there's a tolerance or if I'm legally capable to get the results of the blood they drew before court or how. I guess I just need to know any kind of procedure. I have no idea. And I can't find out from the prosecutor's office.
Well, first off, if you were on a legal prescription, it now comes down to a determination by the physician, whether it be for the defense or whether it be for the prosecutor or whatever, that the medication you were on impaired your driving.
Okay.
What I would recommend that you do is go back to your personal physician that prescribed the medication to you,
uh-huh.
and find out from him when you are taking this prescription, does it impair your driving?
Okay.
If he says, yes, it does, he's giving you the answer.
Well, and it has, each of these medications have a half-life. In other words, the amount of time that it has an effect on the body.
Correct.
So,
exactly.
And so is that what's being disputed here, John, is that you contend that you had taken it several hours before you got on the road, or what was the situation?
Yes, and he just didn't want to hear it at all. What happened when I reached in my glove box to get proof of insurance, he seen a medicine bottle, and from there, downhill really fast. And I understand their concerns,
sure.
But wow.
Yeah. Yeah. What? Here again, John, go back to your physician.
Okay.
And try to build your case with your physician so that when this does go to court, and in fact, you might get with the attorney that is going to represent you so that you can present the evidence needed to prove that you were not under the influence at the time of the stop.
And did you get a blood test?
Yes, they took blood.
Okay, then your defense attorney would be able to get the results of that blood test
from
the prosecutor.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Right. That was my question.
Okay.
Thanks, guys. Love the program.
Thank you, John. John, we appreciate you being out there for us. Okay, so there is another question now. Is there a set limit, at least in the state of Texas, that you're aware of for a certain prescription medication, or do they just simply need to find a trace of that?
Here again, it's going to be based upon the driver's actions and reactions.
Okay.
If we get behind someone and this individual is weaving all over the road and we go up, we don't smell alcohol, obviously we've got some other reason for the driver weaving,
right,
which would lead us to suspect that he's probably under the influence of a drug. So at that point in time, now we go get a blood test, and, you know, we're going to have a video camera that's rolling during the stop. That's going to be what we're going to base our case upon. But as in John's instance right here, what we can do is John can build his case from the standpoint that the driver can go get a doctor's statement that says, yeah, as long as it was taken an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever the shelf life is when it's introduced into the body after a certain period of time, he could not.
And
you may not find traces of it in the blood at all.
And one, right. And one question I just forgot to ask, and this goes back to some, you know, dental surgery that I had a couple years ago. And then, not only that, but when I had my ingrown toenail, and I got pain pills and antibiotics. All right, so the antibiotics I was on, I wouldn't take a pain pill and drive, but the antibiotics I would. So what was the medication? Because the antibiotics isn't going to cause any impairment of me in any way. So, I mean,
right.
I guess that's one of the questions we didn't ask him.
Well, and certainly it would have
what he had.
One of the medications, I mean, based on the officer's decision to take further action, certainly it would have to be a medication that has some type of warning on it.
Right. But here again, I kind of picked up on the fact that he just saw a prescription bottle.
Right. Yeah.
And automatically filed the charge of driving under the influence of a drug.
In the same line of thinking here, and my mom brought this question up, we were getting ready, we were preparing to go down for my brother's wedding, and so she was getting her medications ready, and she told my dad, don't put them in the pill boxes. You know how you can put them in, you know, your Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday pill box. She said, don't do that. They have to remain in the bottle.
That is correct.
Now, in a commercial, so that if an officer pulls you over, whether it's a commercial vehicle or not, if that medication is somewhere, it needs to be in a bottle and needs to have, that bottle must have your name on.
Correct.
All right. So there you have it. Drivers, get on board. If you got a question for Trooper Dial, we would love to hear from you. It is Ask the Law for April 6, 2009. Answers are up to date. As of today, can change without notice. Made possible by R.J. Taylor and Old Blue USA. AskTheLaw.org is the website. You can send us a text if you'd like to, 68683. Just put Eric or Gary on it to make sure we get it, 68683. Or get on board right now
on the Midnight Radio Network. Radio Network and Ask the Law, 800-288-9227, or you can text us at 68683. Mm-hmm. Put Gary or Eric so it goes where it's supposed to go.
You bet. And retired senior trooper Monty Dow from the Texas Highway Patrol is here, courtesy of Old Blue USA, askthelaw.org. Answers are up to date as of April 6, 2009. Can change without notice. Road check 2009, scheduled for June 2nd through the 4th. Now, road check was a big, busy weekend for you guys wearing the badge.
Yes.
First of all, why is it that they advertise that road check? I mean, here we are. We're a couple months out now. We're 60 days out. They advertise road check. What is the purpose of advertising the road check and making drivers and companies aware?
Do you want a law enforcement?
I knew where I was taking you on that, by the way.
Do you want a law enforcement answer?
Let me give you what I thought would be an answer.
Okay.
It is essentially get your ducks in a row.
Yes.
Because we're going to be out, and we're going to be out in full force for three solid days.
Yes.
And if you don't have your ducks in a row, we're going to put you out of service.
Yes.
Here's a good time to go get those brakes checked.
Yes.
All of those lines checked.
Yes.
The windshield fixed.
Too, another thing is most of the individuals, whether and mainly it's going to be for the trucking companies,
mm-hmm.
because there is certain data that is used to determine the rating of carriers,
mm-hmm.
and it's based upon the data that is gathered during this three-day blitz.
Right.
And so what they do is based upon the violation type that is found,
mm-hmm.
based upon vehicle or driver being placed out of service, that is where they set the national average for that year.
Okay.
So in a way, if the drivers and the companies would adhere to the warning that you need to get your ducks in a row,
mm-hmm.
then what this does is it will in turn bring this average or this national standard
mm-hmm.
of out of service rate on the vehicles as well as the out of service rate on drivers, it will bring this average down.
So over the years, it's we've heard back from you after the big road check, and some years it seemed like you were putting more drivers out of service,
yes.
and some years you were putting more trucks out of service. Is it your contention, and this is anecdotal evidence, but is your contention that there's just still a great misunderstanding as to the hours of service?
Yes, the last couple of years, especially in 2006, 2007, 2008,
mm-hmm.
A lot of drivers did not understand the 14-hour rule.
Right.
And there were a lot of drivers that were placed out because they were using or they were found in violation of the 14-hour rule,
mm-hmm.
and it was simply because they did not understand how to calculate the 14-hour rule
right.
when they were trying to use the split sleeper berth.
Hmm. Yeah. That is, and I guess that's probably been one of the most common questions. And if you have a question for retired senior trooper Monty Dial of the Texas Highway Patrol, please get it through at 800-288-9227, or you can even text us if you don't have time to wait on the phone, 68683, a pair of Justin boots to be given away, at least one pair before this hour is up. We'd love to hear your questions, hours of service or other regulations. Please get them to us. Is this a problem when we, as you go through road check and see this, because you guys, it's more concentrated effort. You get certainly a greater pool of results there. Is it a problem with these drivers and misinformation they're getting from other drivers, or is some of this misinformation coming from their own companies?
Probably both.
Yeah.
I would probably say the biggest majority of it comes from listening to other drivers.
Right.
But at the same time, I do not want to take and say that companies themselves aren't passing bad information on to the driver.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, your big companies, they've got someone that has in the capacity of safety,
mm-hmm.
and they're pretty much up on what the driver can and can't do because they monitor. They bring the logbooks in. They look at them. If they find something wrong, they're sending letters out to the drivers. But you start getting into some of the smaller companies where you've got the owner, and he's also the dispatcher. He's the mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
He's the safety guy, whatever.
Right.
And he just doesn't keep up with the regulations and obviously putting bad information out.
All right. More with Trooper Monty Dial on Ask the Law in just a moment.
On the Midnight Radio Network. It's a Midnight Radio Network, and Ask the Law, 800-288-9227. Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
And if you want to get on board, do so now. Of course, Ask the Law. All your answers this morning are up to date as of April 6, 2009, and Ask the Law made possible by Old Blue USA. You can go to their website, askthelaw.org. These comments and questions can change without notice, and we want to thank R.J. Taylor and all of his hard work here over the years on Ask the Law. So if you want to get on board, do it now. 800-288-9227. Send us a text, 68683. Just put Eric or Gary on the text to make sure it gets to us.
Let's go to Roy. Roy, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network, and you're on Ask the Law. Hi, Roy.
Good morning. How are you guys doing this morning?
Good.
My question is, on the hours of service, I've gotten six different answers when I've asked six different people the question. On the restart, does it restart both the 8-day and the 7-day, or do you have to, do you know what you understand what I'm trying to say and I can't put it into words?
It's the 34-hour, okay, you're talking about the 34-hour restart option.
Right.
Okay. So does that 34-hour restart option, does that renew a 7-day or an 8-day?
Either one.
Either one. It renews both of them.
Yes. Well, you can only be running under one of them.
Yeah.
You either run under the...
On the logbook, you know, you've got the 7-day and the 8-day you have to keep track of.
No. We don't care anything about what's at the end of the logbook.
Oh, okay.
That is
for no reason.
that is not one of the 11 items that is required on a logbook. A lot of companies continue to order the daily, you know, the recap.
Hmm.
They order that, I guess, so a driver can keep track of his total hours for any 6 or 7 day period, or 7 or 8 day period. But it is not one of the items that we check.
Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate it. You answered the question. Like I said, I've asked six different people and got six different answers.
Well, stand by. We're going to get you a pair of Justin Original work boots for getting through this morning. So stand by. We'll put you back on hold, and David will get your information. 800-288-9227.
Go to Alfonso on I-20. Alfonso, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network, and you're on Ask the Law. Welcome. Hi.
Hi. How you doing? I have a question. If I drive 11 hours, right, I still have those 3 hours to offload a truck before going over my 14, correct?
Alfonso, you've got as many hours as you need to.
Okay. So you can work beyond that 11 hours of drive time, but that goes towards your total at the end of that 70 hours or whatever it may
be. What, in the example that you're using, you drive your 11, you still have 3 additional hours before you hit the 14th hour rule. But you can take and add as many hours to that as you want to, as long as you have a 10-hour break before you start driving again.
Okay. Yeah, I was getting a little bit confused about that. But, okay, that was my question. Thank you very much. Love your radio show, too.
Thank you so much. We do appreciate it. 800-288-9227 if you want to get through. That was one of the concerns. In fact, I think probably one of the biggest problems that we had as the 2005 hours of service rule came about was that whole splitting your sleeper berth and taking a 2 and an 8 and the fact that you could take that 2 and it would not stop the 14-hour clock for the day, but it also, if you took that 2-hour, let's say you took a 2-hour break during the day, it would not work against your 70 at the end of the week, right?
Correct. Unless, no, it would not. If he took the 2-hour break and the 2-hour break was sleeper berth or off duty or the combination of the two,
right,
it would not count towards your 60 or 70 hours.
Right. Your 14-hour clock still works.
Correct.
But, you know, as you just pointed out, if you work beyond your 11 hours of drive time, even beyond 14 hours, as long as you don't get behind the wheel again until you've taken
a 10-hour break,
okay, then you're good.
You're good.
You could work a total of 16 hours.
Yes.
I mean, let's say you got something to do on that truck, as long as you're not driving it at all.
Correct.
All right. 800-288-9227 if you want to get through, or you can text us at 68683. We would love to hear from you. We do have some calls coming through, and David is getting those calls here. And we'll get them on the air here in just a few minutes. During the we were talking before the break about the road check, and 2009 road check is coming up June 2nd through the 4th. What can drivers expect during that road check? What kind of how much time is that going to take? Does it depend on the amount of traffic? Does it depend on what you see in that truck, or all the above?
What they will try to do is, one, they will try to keep the inspectors occupied.
Mm-hmm.
If each one of the inspectors has a vehicle that they are inspecting, then chances are they are going to take and continue to flag the trucks in, give them a cursory look, and send them on down the road. Obviously, if they see one coming in that has an obvious defect, then they will take and go ahead and pull that truck over to the side, and they will keep it tied up while they wait for another inspector to get freed up.
Okay.
But if they do not see an obvious defect, and they've got a line of trucks over here that are currently being inspected, then they'll wave everybody on through.
Okay. All right. 800-288-9227. Back to the phones.
Go to Paul. Paul, hi. You're on the Midnight Radio Network, and you're on Ask the Law. Hi, Paul.
Hello there.
Hey.
Morning.
Me and my wife, we got off the road when we was driving teams. We got off the road in December of 03 because we understood that the new 11-hour service, 11-hour rule was coming into effect in January of 04.
Mm-hmm.
And we was wondering, I've asked different drivers now, and they've given me different answers. Can a team operation split that 11, or does each one have to drive straight 11 hours, you know, and then switch drivers, or what?
Paul, when this first came out in 2005 was when they came up with the new split sleeper berth requirements, I took a logbook. And I tried every imaginable way of working the split sleeper berth with a team.
Mm-hmm.
It will not work. So the only way that a team can operate is either on a 10 and 10, a 10, 11 and 11, or a 12 and a 12.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what I was wondering, because my wife, it's hard for her to hold out. We drove a team for 6.5 years, and we did the 5-on and 5-off thing.
Right.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we run around the clock, and, I mean, we ran so hard, we run out of hours and everything.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, but like I say, you know, the way they have it set up now, with one break being 8 hours in the sleeper, the other break can either be sleeper berth, off duty, or a combination of the two. When you start trying to overlap these breaks, it's not going to work.
And thank you, Paul. We're going to get you a pair of Justin boots. Stand by as David gets your information during the break. You mentioned 12 and 12. Is that for intrastate drivers in Texas, or how does that work?
Well, normally, when team operations have asked questions, I've always told them, I said, what you do is you can either do the 10 and the 10,
mm-hmm.
and 10 hours of driving and switch,
mm-hmm.
then the other guy comes in and does the 10 hours of driving, and then you switch again, or you can take and do the 11 and the 11, or you can do a 12 and a 12. I've had several team drivers come in, and they would say that obviously they're not going to drive the full 12 hours.
Okay.
But what they do is they drive 11, then they stop for an hour,
mm-hmm.
and each one of them will go in, and they're either getting a shower, getting something to eat, mm-hmm. during the laundry or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But each team member is on the clock 12 hours.
Okay. So for their total on-duty time.
Correct.
12 hours. Yeah, that seems to work. I would think it. Now it's not as easy as the 5 and 5 used to be, according
right.
to most teams. But this at least stops the truck every 12 hours.
Right.
And no driver ever exceeds, obviously, the 11 hours of drive time.
Correct. And what most of them were doing is one driver would have half of their shift during the daylight.
Mm-hmm.
The other half in dark.
Okay.
Then they would swap. The second driver coming in would have half of his shift in the dark,
mm-hmm.
with the second half of the shift
in daylight.
And daylight.
Right. Yeah.
And this one couple, and I don't remember if it was in Gath or it was in Vegas,
mm-hmm.
but they came up and told us that this is the best thing since sliced bread.
Wow.
I mean, it was working,
yeah.
and they had it perfected.
Well, and I think what it comes down to is you're going to have to learn to get your rest. Gary and I have talked about this shift since he started working it 5 years ago. And that was, you have to, and people ask us all the time, well, how do you do that all-night show? Well, there's plenty of people that work all nights and have for many years, officers included. But you have to get your rest.
Right.
That's the key to it. And certainly with that kind of situation, you have to be able to get your rest. And, a full good session of rest within that, in this case, if it's 12 and 12, within that 12 hours. You're going to have to be in that bunk, show that bunk time. Now, each of them is going to have to show 10 hours off-duty time within that 12.
Somewhere. Yes.
10 consecutive hours of off-duty time.
What most of them were doing is this particular couple that came in, they were actually showing 11 hours in the bunk.
Wow.
Now, I don't care what they do in the bunk.
Right. Because there is no
regulation
read or whatever. Right.
Regulations doesn't say what you have to do.
Right.
We hope that you're getting the rest, but as long as you are logging, and they were logging 11 hours
mm-hmm.
in the bunk,
mm-hmm.
then they had an hour off, then they would swap,
right.
the next one would take up, the driver goes into the bunk.
Mm-hmm. And there is no, and because if you get into the cab of the truck as an off-duty driver, it becomes on-duty, not driver.
Correct.
You cannot ride shotgun without being on-duty.
Correct.
So you have to remain in the sleeper, so that makes sense. You just
yes.
show that you're in the sleeper.
And this, the one particular lady that was talking, and, she said that, she has her books that
mm-hmm.
she reads.
Mm-hmm.
She does crochet.
Right. Whatever
plenty
it is.
Plenty of things, that keeps her occupied.
Yeah. Yeah.
While she is back there in the bunk.
There you have it. Ask the Law, and we're back in just a moment.
On the Midnight Radio Network. It's Midnight Radio Network and Ask the Law, 800-288-9227, Gary and Eric.
All right, we'll do it again in May, so make sure you're here, drivers, and get the word out, and we will get back with Trooper Monty Dial. Trooper Dial, thank you so much. We do appreciate it, and we'll talk to you in about a month.
Yes, and I want to congratulate y'all on the 40th anniversary.
Well, thank you. We do appreciate that. And congratulations to the entire crew there at Old Blue USA. AskTheLaw.org is the website. Anytime you have a question, go there and click on the big red button. It's the Midnight Radio Network.
800-288-9227.